This is April the 9th, 2004, Minor Prophets, Arthur Eggers, teacher. And we're studying tonight in Zephaniah chapter 2. Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nations not desired. The word here for gather has to do with gather, like gathering straw or gathering stubble or wood or something that is dried out and dead. Now we have similar thought to this in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 12 through 15. He said, now if any man build on this foundation, that's Christ, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be manifested, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, so as by fire. And we have a similar thought of wood, hay, and stubble. And God considers the nation Israel not desired, as though they were dead works, dead in all their works, like wood, hay, and stubble is dead works. And it's about to be burned, and God's mighty judgment that's coming upon the nation. In verse 2, we read, before the decree brings forth, before the day pass, as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. The thought, the decree, is God's order of judgment that we read here. Before the decree, God's judgment is coming out upon the nation. And it's called here a day that will pass as chaff, that the wind of God, Spirit, blows upon them to be scattered everywhere. This day is called the fierce anger of the Lord, and the day of the Lord's anger. Now, this is the same thing, just different words. Before any of this comes, they will have a chance to repent and receive a new life. But they haven't as yet. But God, the door is always open for them to, as we read in verse 3, to seek the Lord. God has never closed that door for Israel to seek the Lord. When they do, God will reveal Christ to them and their Messiah. But until they do, the judgment is bound to come upon them, until they do that. Verse 3, seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be you shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. So before this day comes, and notice the word before here is used four times in verse 2. There's no reason for them to go through this terrible tribulation time. All they've got to do is seek the Lord. Just as simple as that. Those that do seek the Lord, seek righteousness and meekness, and God will hide them from the day of wrath. The word hide here means to cover. Was it 90? He'll cover me with his feathers. 91st Psalm in it. He'll cover me with his feathers and hide him. And God will do that to them and take care of them. In Matthew 5, verse 5, in the Beatitudes, we read, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And from verse Matthew 5, verses 2 through 12, we have the word blessed nine times. How blessed the remnant will be in the day of God's wrath because they seek the Lord. And they'll be the only one that will seek the Lord in that day is the remnant. Psalms 22 is another verse that's fitting in that, verse 26, which we read, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. And so here's the secret. If you want to be blessed, seek the Lord. The meek here that will inherit the earth is not the church, it's of Israel. The Beatitudes have to do with the Jewish people. When they seek the Lord, God will move upon them and encourage them. So the people that do seek the Lord will eat and be satisfied. What will they eat? They'll eat spiritual food. Jesus says, he that eateth my flesh and drink of my blood shall have life, everlasting life. And so we have a similar thought to that. These people that seek the Lord will praise the Lord with all their heart. And they'll live forever, if we read there. They'll live forever. Psalms 25:9, we read that the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his ways. So the meek had advantage, didn't it? How about the boastful? How about the proud there? Well, they're going to come up short, aren't they? How God likes meek spirits. He likes a meek and a broken and a contrite spirit. And this is the one that's going to be blessed. Psalms 37:11 is another one along the same line. It says, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Think about that. Delight themselves. How happy they will be as they live in abundance of peace. Now, we know that only the remnant's going to do this, but the offering is to all of them, to everybody. But they won't accept it. They'll believe the Antichrist rather than the Christ. Psalms 149:4, another one. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people and will beautify the meek with salvation. That word salvation could be translated deliverance. He'll beautify the meek with deliverance. How beautiful they will be. Because, and they're going to preach the gospel to the other nations. These same Greek, these same meek people will preach the gospel. And we read how beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel of peace. So these are going to be some beautiful people. Isaiah 29:19 says, the meek shall also increase their joy in the Lord. The meek shall increase their joy in the Lord. Wouldn't that be wonderful? It'll continue to increase. And the poor among them shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. Now, all of these that we've read here pertaining to Israel. But the principle is the same today for us, isn't it? God wants us to be meek. Meekness is a character of Christ. Meek, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. What's the next one? It's a fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? Meekness is. And so God wants it in us. He wants it shown forth in us. It's going to be a joy to our heart, too, to be meek. All of those things that we read here. The meek shall he guide in judgment. He shall teach us his ways. All of these pertain to at meek at any age. Another verse that I'd like to read along this line is in Matthew 11:29, which we all know, quote, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, because I am meek and lowly in heart. See, it's a character of Christ, isn't it? Meekness is. We should be as meek as he is. I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest into your soul. So in Christ in you, say, should be the meekness of your life. One more, Numbers 12:3. Here's under the law. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Well, Moses was a type of Christ, wasn't he? Under the law. See, it's an earthly life. All right, verse 4 and 5, we're done together. For Gaza shall be forsaken, Ascalon dissolution, they shall drive out Ashdod at noonday, and Ekron shall be rooted up. Woe unto the inhabitants of the sea coast, the nation of Chariathites. The word of the Lord is against you, O Canaan, the land of Philistine. I will even destroy thee, that there shall be no inhabitant. Now this is God's word to four nations that surrounded the south part of God's people in that day when this was written. The first on the list is Gaza, and this means that she was strong, and it speaks of the strength of these people that God will use to bring judgment. This was the home of Goliath, Gaza. Is that right? Did I say that right? No, I'm sorry. Let me back off on that statement. That isn't true. Anyway, Ascalon means a fire of infamy, or another rendering of that, I shall be weighed, and Israel will be weighed in a balance, found wanting. Ashdod means I will spoil, Ekron uprooted. Now all of these, see, these are all Philistines. The word Philistines mean wallowing, and there has been much said lately about the Gaza Strip in the news. Well, this will be their end, forsaken, desolate, driven out, rooted up, how their names fit the end time, the conditions of the end time that'll come against Israel in judgment. In verse 5, we now spread out into the seacoast, and they'll have a special fate of the Philistines. Notice it's a woe of Churathites. It means cutting off or cutters off. Another word to describe the condition of the Philistines. They'll be cut off too. 2 Peter 2, verse 22 says, But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, a dog is returned to its own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallow in the mire. And all of these that we read of these nations speak of the old creation, and so did Peter speak of the old creation. And other names for them is the descendants of Canaan, the seed of Ham. It's the way of the flesh. But whatever we call them, the Lord is against them, and whatever you want to call them. The Lord is against the flesh, and there's only one thing, the flesh, and it has to die. Jesus put the flesh to death at the cross, but that was provisionally. We need to lay hold of it and put the flesh to death, or these same principles will fall in before people today. If we walk in the flesh, we shall die, but if we through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh, you shall live, Romans 8. The wages of sin is still death. So there's going to have to be a cutting off there. All right, verses 6 and 7, the seacoast shall be dwellings, the cottages for the shepherds, and the folds for the flock. And the coast shall be for the remnant of the house of Judah. They shall feed there thereupon. In the house of Ascalon they shall lie down in the evening, for the Lord their God shall visit them and turn away their captivity. After the destruction's over, after the judgment, the only living thing along the seacoast will be only a few shacks for the shepherds with sheepfolk. In verse 7, we understand that God is going to change all of that. Beginning with the coast, the remnant of the Jews will spread inward and take the land for their own. Jerusalem will be a place of danger. Many will flee to the city. We have this in Matthew 10, verse 23. And it says, But when they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For verily I say unto you, you shall have gone over to the cities of Israel until the Son of Man come. Then in Matthew 24, verses 15, start with verse 15, and notice this first phrase. When you therefore see the abomination of desolation, now this will be 250 days before the middle of the week of Daniel 9:27. When you see the day, in Daniel 9:27, it's called an abomination of desolation. Here it's abomination of desolation. Abomination that maketh desolate. Anyway, spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. This will be the image of the Antichrist that will stand in the holy place. Whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let him which is in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is of the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that were a child, and them that give suck in those days. But I pray you that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath. For then shall be great tribulation, such was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever be. Now this tribulation time will begin with peace. Peace and safety on the earth. And this peace and safety among the nations will suddenly end in destruction. As we just read, the right to offer sacrifices will be taken away, and the image of the Antichrist will be set up in the temple. Notice it's called here in this verse the holy place. That is, when the tribulation really begins, Jeremiah calls this Jacob's troubles in Jeremiah 30, verse 7. And surely it will be troubles for the descendants of Jacob. Ezekiel gives us some more thoughts along this same line. In Ezekiel 9, verses 8 and 9, we read, And it shall come to pass, while they were slaying them, that I was left, And I fell on my face and cried and said, Oh, Lord God, wilt thou destroy all the residue of Israel in thy pouring out of thy fury upon Jerusalem? Then said he unto me, The iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great, and the land is full of blood, and the city full of perverseness. For they say, The Lord hath forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. The Lord will rebuild his holy land after he has finished his work of justice. After he has finished his work of justice, then he's going to do something about it. Here, Ezekiel here is a type in this respect of Christ, because we read there that while they were in the middle of the tribulation, while they were slaying them, Ezekiel here is a type of the remnant that will watch and see people dying on the streets of Jerusalem, being slain there. And they're the only ones that's been left. And even some of them will die during the tribulation. But they'll be raised from the dead almost immediately after the tribulation is over. Micah also gives us some thoughts along this line. In Micah 5, verse 7, he says, And a remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people, as the dew from the Lord, as the showers upon the grass that tarrieth not for man, nor waiteth for the sons of man. So the remnant of Jacob in the midst of the people, it's like the dew from the Lord, refreshing dew. They'll be the only ones that will seek the Lord, and only ones that will find the Lord. Jeremiah 29:14, And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and will gather you from all nations, and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again unto the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. So this is going to be reversed, see, at the consummation of the tribulation, when Jesus becomes their king. The remnant will seek the Lord. The rest of them will die during the tribulation. All the rest of the Jews except the remnant. When they go into the kingdom age, every living soul will be born again. The first child that's born after they go into will be a sinner. But at the time that the kingdom begins, all the sinners will die during it. And those that seek the Lord, the captivity is going to be turned from them and go into a glorious time of blessing. All right, let's read verses 8 down through 11. I have heard the reproach of Moab and the reviling of the children of Ammon, whereby they have reproached my people and magnified themselves against the border. Therefore, as I live, saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, surely Moab shall be as Sodom, and the children of Ammon as Gomorrah, even the breeding of nettles and the salt pits, and a perpetual desolation. The residue of my people shall spoil them, and the remnant of my people shall possess them. This shall they have for their pride, because they have reproached and magnified themselves against the people of the Lord God. The Lord will be terrible to them, for he will famish all the gods of the earth, and men shall worship him, everyone from his place. Even all the isles of the heathen will worship the Lord. Now these are pertaining to Moab, and the word Moab means what, father? And we know that Moab and Ammon didn't know or didn't have a father, really, because their earthly father was their grandfather. It was your mother's, that was Lot. I'm trying to think of his name here.
That was Lot.
Moab and Ammon had the same father but different mothers. See, that'd make them half brothers, wouldn't it? The word Ammon means peopleish or tribal. And both of these represent religious systems that really don't know God. They don't know their father. They're just soulish. They're just peopleish. And gather together into tribes and different names. And the basic problem of these people was pride. That was their problem. And oh, it's a problem in people today too, especially soulish church members. Genesis 13:6 tells us about them. It says that the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. for their substance was great, so they could not dwell together. Verse 11 tells us that then Lot chose him all the plains of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from another. We have true believers separating from those that will go along with anything. It wasn't that Lot wasn't saved. We read in Jude that he was. Peter talked about just Lot, or justified Lot. But all the losses because of his pride, of self-gain. Jeremiah gives us a thought, too, along the line. In Jeremiah 48, we'll read verses 25 through 27. It says, a horn, or the power of Moab, was cut off. Horns speak of power in Scripture. And his arm is broken. This also speaks of strength, saith the Lord. Make ye him drunken, for he magnifieth himself against the Lord. Moab shall be swallowed in his vomit, and he shall be in derision. For was not Israel in derision unto thee? Was he found among the thieves? For since thou speakest of him, thou skippest for joy. When they, Moab and Ammon, when they found that Jacob was being punished, see to Jacob, oh, they were so happy. These are our enemies. So after they were being punished. Well, Moab and Ammon will experience a great coming down. There have always been some good individuals in all nations. God has used these. Ruth is one, hadn't he? But she was a Moabite. God didn't destroy her. She became a grandmother of Jesus. Verse 12, we have Ethiopia. Ethiopians also, ye shall be slain with a sword. The word Ethiopia has a thought of darkness or blackness. There too were descendants of Ham that settled in the southern coast of the Mediterranean. And there's not much said here except that they will die in war. Well, that's saying a lot, isn't it? That the nation of Ethiopia will die in war. Mussolini almost destroyed Ethiopia just before World War II broke out. Down there and just slew thousands. But Ethiopia never took a direct stand for anything. They just went along with any gods that came along. This is all right. But they didn't stand against Israel either, but sided in with those who did. So they were just as bad. Verses 13 through 15. And he will stretch out his hand against the north and destroy Assyria, and will make Nineveh a desolation and a dry like a wilderness. And flocks shall lie down in the midst of her, all the beasts of the nations, both cormorant, I guess how you pronounce that, and a bittern shall lodge in the upper lintels of it. Their voice shall sing in the windows. Desolation shall be in their threshold, for he shall uncover the cedar work. This is the rejoicing city that dwelt carelessly, that said in her heart, I am, and there is none besides me. How is she become a desolation? A place for beasts to lie down in. Everyone that passes by her shall hiss and wag their heads. Now we have concerning Assyria. We know today that Syria itself, Assyria, is not in existence. The land that we knew that was known there as Assyria is known now as Syria and Iraq and Iran, and all through down through there was the nations that Syria had conquered, even down into the 10 tribes. But they represent everywhere north of Babylon. Syria was a threat to all people. They still are today. We're having more trouble with Iran and Iraq today than we've ever had. Well, this is part of the Assyrian government that was back in Zephaniah's time. They had taken the 10 tribes and tried to take the 2 tribes and couldn't do it. But God said that they were tools of his. But when he got finished with them, he broke them. And verse 14, notice that everything becomes worthless in that whole city. Nineveh was the headquarters of the Assyrian government, and all the things that they took pride in was of no value to them. Only the beast can enjoy the work of man's hands. The cormorant is a large bird that lives fishing, probably like a pelican, the way I understand it. And the bittern is the same, probably the same as we know of a porcupine. So both are considered unclean and to eat, and consequently they're not hunted for food, by the Jews especially. And it seems that part is still standing as a memorial of God's judgment, part of Nineveh. In verse 15, this is what she was, a rejoicing city, careless and boastful. God changed her tune all of a sudden. Now she's weeping. She's not singing anymore. The only singing we hear in the town is the singing of birds flying from one ruined part to another. The same thing will happen to Babylon that destroyed them. In Isaiah 47:7, we read that God's going to break tools down. It says, "And thou saidest, I will be a lady forever, that thou shalt not lay these things to thy heart. Neither didst remember the latter end of it." So it happened to Nineveh. It happened to religious Babylon. One speaks of the religious side, the other speaks of a political nation. And this all compares now with Revelation 18 of this false woman in the last days. She will be both religious and political. Verse 7 of Revelation 18. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I said a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. So we have the same thing said about Assyria as we see about Babylon in the end time. Religious system, religious political system, all in one. Assyria's destruction, this mighty nation, is now a hissing and sneering of people that go by. And this is a type of the old creation, however you look at it. One day they will bow down to them, and the next day mock at them. Now we're going to have that in a religious system in the last days. In David's lamentation over Saul in 2 Samuel 1:19, I think it is, and his best friend Jonathan, Saul's son, and these are the words that David said: "The beauty of Israel is slain upon high places. How are the mighty fallen?" And then on down to verse 25 of the same chapter, he said, "How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle, O Jonathan? Thou wast slain in thy high places." Verse 27 then, "How are the mighty fallen, and the weapons of war perished." They're all going to go downhill. They're all going to fall apart. And if God doesn't revive, there isn't anything, is there? And that's the essence of the flesh, as well as the flesh today. Proud, boastful, and has to be destroyed.